question is often asked, can bhakti yoga, there's different kinds of yoga, can bhakti yoga also be practiced in a passive way like other yogas? Passive means non-active. Like other yogas, you know, all the other forms of yoga, generally you do some asana, some pranayama, and then meditate on Brahman or Paramatma or Vishnu. So what that would be called passive. Because generally, especially in the previous mission I was in, people have the idea that bhakti means doing something. What are you doing? What seva are you doing? And or what's your program, they used to ask 40 years ago or 42 years ago when I... And if you say I'm doing nothing, then they think you're worthless, or you're not progressing in the bhakti path. Well, bhakti means devotional service, which is not exactly correct translation. Bhakti means love. It's a degree of love, and goes into different intensities of bhava and prema than seven stages of prema, which we can experience only in our siddhadeya when we're with Krishna in Boma Vrindavan or Goloka Vrindavan. So if you take a close look, I mean, we all heard of the book, we probably read it once or twice, but maybe don't remember all these points. But if you look at the actual teachings of Vaidhi Sadhana by Rupa Goswami, I'm talking about Vaidhi Sadhana, because it's part 1, chapter 2, is called Sadhana Bhakti. So someone is a bhakta, whether it's Vishnu bhakta or Krishna bhakta, Ram bhakta, all these angas or limbs of bhakti will be practiced. And they're called 64 limbs. Everyone knows. And the summary of these 64 is 9 limbs, which was given by Prahlad Maharaj in Satyuga. And he says, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam. So that applies to Ramchandra, Krishna, Nathji, whoever your Ishtadev is. If you're a Vaishnava, have a personal conception, and you'll hear and chant and remember and Parikram and Dandavats and all the things that we do, they also do. They're very, and they're all, many of them, most of them are active. The general impression that all devotees have is that devotional service means moving with your body and senses. But it's amazing that basically the sutra that I came up with, you could say, is bhakti. Bhakti means, does bhakti mean being or doing? Is bhakti active or passive? Let's say bhakti dash, doing or doing nothing?
The gopis look not non-active.
Yeah, so doing nothing doing nothing is called non-active, yeah? Can you close that door, Piche Bangu? So, Rupa Goswami, just for everyone's reminding, I made a list of what I consider the doing nothing limbs of bhakti. And out of the 64 limbs of bhakti, all these limbs are practiced by the Vaidhi Sadaka and also by the Raghunuga Sadaka. Although the Raghunuga Sadaka, like the Vaidhi Sadaka, may not do all of them because he specializes in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. He may not do Archanam, worshipping deity, may not live in a holy place, maybe does. But he spends his time nicely absorbed in hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna's Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela, as Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, instruction number 8, or maybe 10. He does that in association with advanced devotees. So it can be anywhere in the world. If you're with advanced devotees, it's called anuragami. He goes, anugami means he follows the path and teachings of the anuraga Vaishnavas. So you can find very advanced devotees anywhere in the world, especially now. Not only in India, in Indian bodies, but in all kinds of different nationalities and forms. There are many advanced Vaishnavas from Nimbark Sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya, Vallabha Sampradaya. They may be in England or Germany or Russia or anywhere. Srupa Goswami, in that particular instruction, which is the essence of all instructions, Upadeshamrita, he said he doesn't, although he talks about living at Radhakund as the ultimate, but before that, he says the most important thing is to nama rupa guna, always absorb yourself in nice anukramat. Anukramat means doing one after another, hearing, chanting, remembering Radha and Krishna's leelas, nam, rupa, guna, and leela, in the association with anuragini Vaishnava. Because wherever an anuragini or a very advanced devotee is, automatically that's Vrindavan. Because the only thing he'll speak about is Vrindavan. I mean, one of my friends and dear Shiksha Gurus, Sri Advaita Dastri, he's in Holland. That seems far from Vrindavan, but he's having classes every day on the chat line or whatever, with a group of very fortunate Vaishnavas, and they're in bliss. Because such a personality he's creating by his vibration, by his words and speech, and of course he's systematically going through various books like Stavavali and Stavamala and Madhurya Kanamani and Bhakti Sandarvas, etc. And teaching a handful of fortunate souls, and they feel like they're in Vrindavan. And it's snowing outside or raining all the time. This is the point. So we'll just look at some of these limbs, and especially for the larger listening audience, whoever they may be, we will see. I have a list here, many, many passive limbs of bhakti. It's interesting when you look at the 64 practices, because we say we're bhaktas and we're practicing bhakti yoga. We're doing bhakti sadhana, primarily bhakti sadhana. It's called sadhana bhakti chapter. So the first 270 verses, 1 to 270, they're for everyone. Everyone will follow these teachings, nama parad, seva parad, all these teachings, and should know them very well. This is the key book, you can say the essential book of you can say this is our yoga handbook. This is our yoga sutras. And Patanjali yoga sutras with the commentaries. If you follow other lines of yoga, Raja Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, they are oftentimes based on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras and the explanations and teachings of that particular guru of that type of yoga. So in Bhakti Yoga, there's no greater bhakta, at least for Gaudiyas, than Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami. So he's given us the essence in this book. And then he summarized all of his, not only books on tattva, spiritual truths and substance, which is tattva, then also lila, all of Rupa Goswami's Stavamala, which are books of lila and poems and prayers and beautiful things, and all his other writings, Lita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, etc. They're all, the essence of all those is Upadeshamrita. So if you wanted to get the two essential books of Rupa Goswami for tattva and lila, they would be Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with the commentaries of Sri Jiva, Vishwanath, and Mukunda Das Goswami. These are the primary ones. And your own teacher or guru, Mukunda Das Goswami, is a Sakshat Shishya, a direct Shishya of Krishna's Kaviraj. So he's a highly exalted and glorious person. And these, in this particular edition, our Banu Maharaj, he has translated Sri Jiva and Vishnu Chakravarti's Tikas in his English rendition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but somehow he didn't want to include the other one. But this one I'm looking at has those also. So it's very helpful, very insightful commentaries. So these Upadeshamrita, as I said, if you have these two books and you study them deeply in the association with sadhus, you'll understand all the rasa tattva and everything about Rupa Goswami, which is the foundation of bhakti bhajan and the foundation of bhakti sadhana or bhakti yoga. as we see it as Gaudiya's, which is, of course, directed towards Radha and Krishna. So let's begin some of the silent practices here. A nice reminder. I hope the book holds up long enough to read it. I've taped a lot of pages, and every time I feel like I'm handling some, I don't know, very fragile, sacred thing, which it is, of course. Let's see. I can turn on a light, I think. I think we need a light, yeah. It's got a little, I was just using sunlight, but... Okay. So the limbs of bhakti... Oh, I want to mention one thing. Of the 64 limbs, only one of the 64 limbs is called service. It's called paricharya. Paricharya means doing... Pari means all kind, in all directions, and chari, like you know, you've heard the word acharya. Acharya teaches by his words and by his behavior and his example. As Krishna says, yad yad acharati shestas tat tat evitarojana sayat pramano kurute lokas tad anavartate. Anavartate, he shows the path. That path which he shows is the path of his own example. He talks and he walks his talk, as we say. So interesting, we say bhakti yoga or bhakti sadhana means devotional service. So what is your service, Prabhu? What service are you doing? I'm doing nothing. Because of the 64 limbs, only one of them is paricharya. Thinking of Krishna as a service. Looking at Krishna as a service. Eating mahaprasadam as a seva. What is your service? I eat. I'm eating mahaprasad. No, I mean, everyone has to eat. Even karmis, non-devotees are eating to live. No, this is number 27. So why is one number out of 64? You're saying paricharya, paricharya. And you're hitting me on the head with that. Go out, destroy books, and clean a temple, this and that. All these things. Make some money, collect some money, and whatever. So many active. Chara means to move. Like we say, brahmachari. Brahmachari means he's moving on the path of Brahman. Charachara means to move. So acharya. So paricharya means moving all around and doing all kinds of things. He's going here. Oh, now he's going to Maharashtra. And now he's taking a yatra around Vrindavan. Oh, now he's giving class. Now he's doing kirtan. What's he doing? Oh, what is Krishnadas doing? Oh, he's in Radhakund. What is he doing? He's preaching or in Prikama? No, he sits in his room all day. Acha. Oh, useless guy. He's useless. He's just all day long looking at Krishna, or Radharani. It's Shankan Krishna and Radhakan Radharani. So this is. So what's your devotional service? So one of them is called. This is the number. What is it called? Well, this comes under another category here. Number 22. To stamp the body with the letters of the name of the Lord, or to put on the outward signs of a Vaishnava, one is called Namaskara Dhriti. Dhriti means to hold or to carry, and Akshar means syllable. Like you say Radha. You see the Bhavas sometimes? They write in Bengali. It's very nice. Yeah. I tried it once. You have to... No, you're writing backwards and upside down. Because when somebody looks at you, you can't write it like you're doing your own thing. You have to think, well, what does this look like? It's like a mirror effect, you know, the opposite reflection. So, Ra, and in Bengali is easier to write than Hindi. Hindi is harder. Radha is easier to write in Bengali. Mm-hmm. So I tried to learn, because this is like a diamond and like this thing. So I was writing, and then somehow I got too passionate or whatever. I'm not... So, you know, because my teacher, I asked him, I said, do we have to do this? He said, if you want, it's nice. When he was young, he did it. I said, okay, I think then, where's the cutoff point? Gray hair and 70 years, I think that's old enough to quit. But it's nice, you see the Baba's doing that. And of course, many don't, and you're living with all of them. Yeah. Gopinath Mandir, usually the young ones do.
I do.
Yeah, because it's nice, because... many things we do externally are to develop a certain identity, a certain hunkar, a certain sense of identity and who am I. So Radha, Ami Radha Paradasi. Me Radha Paradasi hum. I am a servant of the lotus feet of Radharani, so I belong to Radha. So that reinforces writing on the body or like that, it reinforces the identity, our ultimate spiritual identity or sarup, is that I'm Radha's dasi. So after so many years, then what you're writing becomes written in your mind. Because external activities, like we offer obeisances, it's to show submission, humility. But if the body's bending down and showing humility and submission, but the mind is standing up.
Yeah.
And the ego's standing very tall, with the chest out and chin up, then you're better off to keep offering more and more obeisances to the right people, like Pran Krishna Baba and Anatta Das and big saints. And even if they don't notice you're offering obeisances, by offering obeisances to them, any big saints, or any couple of Riksha Tree, or anyone, or anything in Vrindavan, Brahmins, etc., then Krishna will reward you. And that's the reward is that we become like we're showing. We become humble. We're showing humility, but we're not. So this is this is our unfortunate condition. We're good in the show, but not inside. Everyone can say hi, I like you, and then later on you say all nonsense about that person. So we have to become inside, outside should be one continuous expression of devotional consciousness, the body and the words and the drishti and everything. A humble person, he looks with humility, he feels humble, he thinks humble, and he speaks humble, and he acts humble. It's a reality. It's the foundation of Krishna prema. Our acharyas say that in Krishna, the more one has love for Krishna, the more humble he is. And the more humble he is in terms of spiritual humility and all of what it means, the more one attracts the heart of the Lord, because prema is a gift, and if Krishna is not pleased, then he won't give it. There's nothing we can attain on our own. Prema is nitya siddha, is eternally perfect. It's in a spiritual world. And when Krishna is pleased in his own sweet will, in his own sweet time, he will bestow that prema in the heart. First, it will come as illuminating ray of bhava. It's called prema kiran. Kiran means a light beam. And it will bring in different symptoms with it also, which are discussed in this book. So one limb of bhakti, just like one limb of bhakti is doing active, practical activity, is to simply put on tilak. It's number 22. Namaskara dhriti, to put write the symbols, Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna, or to put on Vaishnav Chinna. Vaishnav Chinna Dhriti, to mark the body with outward signs. So that means tilak, or you put the conch shell, you can, with a stamp, like we have these tilak stamps, and you, Radhe, Radhe, and you put on your forehead, and Hindi it says Radhe, Radhe, or whatever. You can do tattoo. Some people, I saw one person around their neck, they had a tattoo, Trinada piece, and each Trinada piece. I saw another person, I don't know, what I can't see it for.
Radhe.
Very nice. I saw another person who had a Mahamantra on
his hand. Before 2 days, I saw.
That's nice.
He just made 30 of Mahamantra.
Yeah.
One devotee in Vrindavan, he has haircut, upside he has written Radhe and backside Hare Krishna.
Must be foreign. Risky.
Yeah, no.
Indian.
Yeah.
that's wild. Yeah, I mean, if it's really coming from a heartly mood of surrender, if it's a show, then like all shows, it ends up with a flop. Because we have flop show, means a failure. Because external things will stay with you in the external world, and you'll take another birth. So it's nice, but we have to understand the motivation, because the mentality is really, the attitude and mentality is much more important than any external expression. Everywhere that's true, but especially in bhakti. Bhakti means it's a love, it's a feeling. So if we can go on to the next one here. It's quite an adventure here reading this book. The next one is, this is another form of service. These are what I call passive services. You'll really like this one. Nirmalya Dhriti. To accept Nirmalya means, what's your service? What are you doing? What is your service? Well, I'm just taking darshan of different Thakurjis and wearing the Mahaprasad and eating the Mahaprasad in different temples. Right, perfect. In other words, any one of these services can give Krishna prema. Any one of these services, be it active or passive, paricharya, which is active, or all these ones that I'm mentioning. Someone's walking around with a maha garland. What's your service? This is my service. I went to Radharaman and they gave me a maha garland, and then the rest of the day I'm wearing it. So wearing this garland is my service. But you have no mala. You're not selling books. What are you doing? This is my service. I wear this all day. I go to bed thinking, oh, Radharaman, you wore this. It's so nice. It's, in other words, service is simple. And anyone, that's why Prabhupada said anyone can do. We even see dogs wearing garlands. I mentioned that in my Appreciating Vrindavan book 20 years ago, or whatever it was, 30 years ago, whenever it came in 1991, 30 years of Appreciating Vrindavan. Because I noticed, because I was new to Vrindavan, permanently living here in 1987, and I would see some black dog and someone put a maha garland around his neck of marigold flowers, gendak. And it was quite nice, black dog with yellow and orange flowers. Smart, very smart, you know, the contrast, the black, the old black dog and nice bright yellow. And it seemed other dogs were walking with him, and they're just running here and there, and he was walking like this. I have Damodar's garland, maha garland. He looked like he was proud. So I mentioned that in my book. One section I talk about the animals in Vrindavan. So I mentioned that even the dogs are proud to have the remnants of Thakurji's garland. This is Vrindavan. So that dog is doing bhakti. Even the dog's doing bhakti because he's near Malia. Hey, what is your service? You're keeping us up all night long. And we're so tired we can't chant japa in the morning because you're barking all night. No, that's my swabhav. That's my nature. I'm watching out for you. But I do my seva. I have my garland around my neck. So that's a very passive service. And then now here's an example of an active service, which many of us, of course, do in our own way. But the way it's actually presented by Rupa Goswami is something probably we don't know about or haven't been told about. This is because I wanted to, some interesting points I thought I would bring out for everyone's reminder, let's say. One is called Tandavam. Like everyone's heard of the Tandava Nritya. Tandava Nritya. Nritya means dancing, and Tandava is the dance of Pralaya on Lord Shiva. You've seen these carvings of Lord Shiva with his dreadlocks, you know, he has dreadlocks. His dreadlocks scattered all in 20 directions because he's not tied up, you know, he's usually all tied up. It's like 20 feet long. And he's got one hand like this and one hand like that. And his one leg is like this and the other leg is, you ever seen? And usually there's some...
Nataraj,
the quilt. That's Shiv Nataraj. But that particular dance, there's different types of, there's Halasaka and Chalukya, many dances that are mentioned, traditional type of Indian dances that are even mentioned in Ras Leela. And one of them is called Tandava. And Tandava is a male dance, not the males do this because it's wild, you know. So as Shiva is doing Tandava, so Krishna is also doing Tandava. He's doing Tandava for Parvati, and Radharani is doing, Krishna is doing Tandava for Radha. Tandava for Radha. So we, as Krishna's bhaktas, we're Tandava Bhagavan Das. So we're also supposed to do Tandava. So generally say, when I came in this mission, oh, we should do the Swami step, which is very nice. But the Tandava is not the Swami step. And the Swami step reminds us of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, who danced like that. But we were 24 and he was 74. And when you're 74, I can tell you now already. And that's more, this is about, this is good. This is really good. But the kind of energy we had when we were 24 and not being very Indian, quite Western and quite crazy, we wanted to do the Tandava. But so our, so some temple presidents, maybe they understood the nectar of devotion a little more, or they were a little more liberal or a little wild themselves. So they allowed, because I was one also, temple president for 4 years, so they allowed their brahmacharis, not on Sunday. I had that rule. I said, on Sunday feast, we have to do Swami step. And after that, it was somersaults and backflips and handsprings. One guy gets down, the other guy jumps off on his back in the kirtan. Of course, we had Gornitai temple. We didn't have Radhakrishna. So we, Radhakrishna, you want to be a little more respectful to Radharani and throwing your feet all over the place. No, but Gornitai, in that same mood, some of the more energetic. Remember Gohita? Gohita was really good. He would go from the back of the temple, and then everyone was dancing, everyone clear on the sides. He'd go to the back, and he would run, and then dive like this, and then jump up like this. Haribo! He would just like a ball. He'd go, anybody else would break their neck and back. You know, he would run like this, like he's diving in the water, but diving on the floor. You know, no mat, not gymnastics. There's no mat on the floor. Wooden floor, diamond, but on Sunday, you know, sometimes our congregation would come on a weekday and say, "What is going on?" You know, they're standing back by the door. What is Gujaratis? You know, it's so funny. This is in Baltimore, in America, one city called Baltimore. It's a big city, small temple, 20 devotees. Wild ones. So here it is, number 24, Bhakti Yanga, number of Chobis. Agre Tandavam. It's in Dwarka Mahatmya, Padma Puran. And was the translation? Frantic dancing in front of Sri Vigraha. And it says that in the Dwarka Mahatmya, it says, he who cheerfully and with overwhelming emotions of bhakti frantically dances in front of the Lord has his sins of many, many manvantaras burned into ashes. A manvantara is like one manvantara is 71 chaturyugas, and four ages are, chaturyuga means four ages, satya, treta, dwapara, and kali. The four ages are equivalent. So one set of the chatur, yugas, is 44,320,000,000 years. Or no, 4,000,000, this is the wrong comma, 4,320,000 years. That's Satyuga plus Treta Yuga plus Dwapara Yuga plus Kali Yuga. Becomes 4,000,000. So 4,000,000 times 71. I mean, that's a lot of years. And that's a lot of lifetimes, and that's like mountains of sins. And I guess we better start dancing frantically, because this is the command, this is the order. So if one is doing Tandava Nirtya in front of Thakurji, he's not out of line. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm following Rupa Goswami. Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hobi Akuti. We should follow the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. Hey, where does it say this? It's right here. Oh, excuse me. I thought this is an interesting, rather humorous point. I mean, most of us are not so young and athletic and energetic anymore, but that's just to contrast the passive action. I thought I would give an active action. Another one is dandavats, dandavat nati. Dandavat nati means to prostrated obeisances, dandavat. So first, sankhya purvaka nama gana nati bi. You know this? And Sadhu Goswami Astakam, sankhya purvaka gana nama nati bi. So the word natibi, sankhya purvaka nama gana natibi. Sankhya means counting, numbers. We chant minimum 4 rounds or 16 or 1 lakh, whatever. So sankhya means counting. Sankhya purvaka nama. So we count beginning with the nam. The first thing we do in the daytime, when we start doing bhakti sadhana, we remember Krishna by chanting his name. Even just waking up, Jai Govind, Jai Radhe, Jai Radharaman. Jai Hiraj, your Thakurji. So we begin with Nam. Our very first breath of the baby when we wake up is we chant the name. So Purvak, beginning with name, they count the name. And Gan means so many songs and prayers. They count so many songs. Sankhya, Purvak, Gana, Natibi. And Natibi means Dandavats. Natibi. So Dandavan Nati. So actually what this word means, we say Dandavats. Sometimes people see some sannyasi or babaji, oh, Dandavats. And they just go like this. But Dandavats, it says Dandavat Nati. Dandavat Nati means that, Dandavats means the body lies on the ground. And Dandavat Nati, it says Dandavan Nati, means that he possesses, van means he possesses the mentality of surrender, of humility. That's really a full expression of obeisances. In other words, my body is lying at your feet, but my mind is not.
Yeah.
Common. So it should be body, mind, especially. Because that's the ultimate. Ishvara is the mind. The ultimate controller is the mind, and that must be submitted at the feet of the Vaishnavas. So now we go to the... That was... Now we go to page 170. Oh, Stane Gati. Stanam Tirtam Griyanashaya Tatra Tirte Gatiriyata. This is number 28, a little bit active, but just to give you the broader perspective of what devotional service includes. Leaving one's house, griha, leaving one's house and traveling to a place of pilgrimage or going to visit a temple, like someone comes from a foreign country and they're going to the travel agency to buy a ticket, that's bhakti. They're going to the embassy to get a visa, and meeting with some person, that's bhakti. They're going to the airport, that's bhakti. They're walking on the airplane, that's bhakti. They're on their way to Vrindavan, as we all, some of us come from other countries and visit here, as we did so many times from 77 on, and then we were able to stay longer. So this is actually seva, stane gati, going to the stan, going to the place. Stane means the place. And also includes going to the temple. This is a subcategory, number 28. It says, Vishnu Darshanartam Praveshtan Aliyam. So Alaya, Vishnu Alaya is another way of saying the house of Vishnu. I say Bhojanalaya, what's the name? Bhojanalaya? Goshtalaya means the place of cows or the place of eating. If you travel around India, they have signs, Bhojanalaya. Or it says Pushtaklaya, means the house where we sell books. Or it's Govardhan Pujanlaya, or whatever. So going to the house, Pravesh means to enter the house of Vishnu for the purpose of darshan. They're very nice, it's Sanskrit. Huh? Vishnu, darshan, art. Art, I say, anartha, dharm, art, kamoksha. Art means objective, the goal, the purpose. And darshan, we know, everyone knows darshan, to see. Pravesh means to enter. Pravishanalayam Vishnu Darshanartam Subhaktiman. So this is a very good form of bhakti to go to visit, to enter the temple of the Lord, travel to the temple. What's your service, Prabhu? I'm going to the temple. Bus. So that's nice. That's a nice one. There's another one here. You like this?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's interesting view of this 50-year-old book here too. It's dissolving as you turn the pages. Let's see. This is now 28 and 176. This, I really like this one, but this one even has tape on it. I taped it, and I'm trying to preserve it. Because it's a very special book, and I've had it for 30 years, and I never knew that my Shiksha Guru for 30 years, and who became my Diksha Guru, he translated.
So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or different?
This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it's only part one. Prabhupada, it's Nectar Devotion is the whole thing, and Bhana Maharaj did the whole thing in two volumes. That's the sad part. It's sadhana bhakti, no bhava bhakti and no prema bhakti. But in one sense, that's okay because we're not there. We're nowhere near. But of course, we should study and understand about those subjects also. And Bhanu, this is Bhanu Maharaj, and that's Bhanu. Bhanu. Bon and Ba. Of Bono, if you're Bengali, it's both the same. So after 30 years, I was just reading the preface of this book. Oh, the author, Bhanu Maharaj, said, I'm very indebted to so-and-so. It's in here somewhere. I said, oh, this is my Gurudev. So then I went and I said, can you write, this is April 6, 2016. I said, can you write something, you know, on front of the book? Because even the author says, Bhanu Maharaj says, without his translation, without his input, I would never be able to translate the Sanskrit or produce this book. I'm very indebted, because my Gurudev was working for him as a Babaji. He was teaching Sanskrit in the 1960s in Vrindavan.
He mentioned his name.
Yeah, he mentions it in two paragraphs in the introduction. So I went to Gurudev and he wrote, I pray to God to bestow his best blessings upon Mahanidhi Sri Madan Gopal Dasji for culturing this book. That's the old way, he's 98. That's the old way of saying studying this book. Sri Krishnadas Bhakti Tirth. So this is my kind of my treasure, personal gift from my guru. So that's why, although I have this other one, the same book, not all the same information. I prefer this one because it's done by my guru and touched by my guru. So you like this number 37 is very nice. This is a very nice form of service, and we can get direct experience of that. What's your service, Prabhu? My service is Naivedya Swad. He knows Hindi, so these two know Hindi. So swad means to relish or to taste, to enjoy, the taste of food or whatever, rasakata, kirtan. And naivedya means those objects offered to Krishna, the sandalwood pulp, the perfumes, the food, all these things, garlands. What's your service? My service, I just sit in a temple and I eat all the mahaprasad. I look at Krishna and I eat the Balya Bhog, I eat the Raj Bhog, I eat
the...
You say, get out from here. You have to work, You just... No, but I'm following Prabhu Goswami. Get out, Go make some money. Naivedya Swad. Naivedya Swad. And then if you do this, you attain... Just by doing this... Here's a nice commentary. This is from Padma Purana, actually. It's the verse to support this. First, Rupa Goswami mentions the point in his own Sanskrit. Atta Naivedya Swad. And what's the proof? Padma Purana. So then he has a Sanskrit. Naivedya Manam Tulasi Vim Vishvisham Visheshita Padajandhaneshita. Anyway, it's long Sanskrit. So he says, tasting that food offered to Vishnu in the temple. And the Padma Purana said, if someone daily eats offered naivedya, rice, fruits, edibles offered to the Lord, along with tulsi, and also charanamrita, he attains the merit of thousands of Vedic yagyas and rituals. That's a very nice point, because Jiva Goswami... And this oftentimes, the devotees that misunderstand this point. I preached this long ago also when I was in Delhi. They say, you go to some temple and they give you some sweet, usually some small sweet in your hand. Maybe the pujari gives you in your hand some edible, naivedya. Because naivedya swad specifically means foods, not just a garland. But some naivedya means eating something. So it's something to eat, like charanamrita. But they give you some sweet or you... They give you some little kulfi and a little clay cup or whatever. So then you just take it and you go a little to the side and you say, oh, Jaya Mahaprasad, sorry. Oh, you can't eat the food in the temple. You can't eat Mahaprasad in the temple. This is an offense. You're eating in front of Thakurji. Have you ever heard this?
Yeah.
I don't know about there, but this is not quite correct. So here, let's see the tika here, what it says. Jiva Goswami says, because it says, let's see. So he says, Jiva Goswami points out that the word purata, it says purato, purata mara, nityam purato murari. That's in the Padma Puran, Sanskrit verse. He's saying that when you take the prasad, this word purata means not in front of the deity inside the temple, but outside the sanctum sanctorum, because as previously been stated in connection with offenses in respect to seva or services at the time of worship, it's forbidden to eat in front of the deity. So previously in this book it said they're talking about seva aparadhas, and one is one aparadha in seva, Thakurji's seva, is to eat Mahaprasad in front of the deity. So Jiva Goswami specifies that sanctum sanctorium. So what does that mean? Sancta sanctorium means the griha, the Thakurji griha, the actual altar. We say altar where they close the doors and then they open the doors to sing a sana. Because pujaris, I was also a pujari, sometimes in Vrindavan. So we go in the morning and we clear the Mahaprasad from the night, the late night offering, which is condensed milk in Vrindavan, very thick, like you buy in the West those cans of milk. They're called condensed milk, evaporated milk.
Rubbery?
It's like rubbery, but it's not solid like rubbery. It's more milk and less fat. Okay. Rubbery has lots of fat, milk fat. So it's like very thick milk. You buy it in cans also in Delhi. It's called evaporated milk. Or condensed milk. In the West, they have it also. So there's cups there. So the pujari, when he goes in, he transfers it, takes to the kitchen and transfers it. But so the offense would be if the pujari takes off the altar, then he pours it in a cup, his own cup, or say a cardboard cup, fresh, and he drinks it in front of the deities. Well, that's nice. Get some energy for my for rest. Because I remember I had to wake up the deities in the old days in the Vrindavan, 1981, Karti. And one devotee does it all. Wakes up all the deities, three altars, clears it all up. So at that time, the head Vajari, whom I won't mention his name, but he had a strict order that all of that condensed milk has to be put in thermoses. He had some thermoses there. It's empty ones. You know, thermos, like a hot, cold bottle. So then, and why? Because then we had to seal it, because then he would come later and take it to his house and keep it in the refrigerator. And he and his wife and kids would drink all that, because he's the head pujari. So it was like equal to like four flasks or whatever they call it, those hot containers. And if you drank any, he would know. So just tasting Mahaprasadam is devotional service. Equally on an equal standing and equal level with paricharya. Not devotional service, because I said they're all transcendental. Another one is dup sorabhyam, means smelling the incense and perfumes and oils offered to the Lord. That's number 39. So that's a very nice one. And along the lines of that, just to have a like full immersion. This is some perfume. Just gonna pass that back. This is some perfume I offer to my deities.
Mm. And then I keep it there.
Then all day long, it smells nice. And then, especially if you're in Vrindavan or walking around India somewhere, and you go by some bad smell coming in your nose, because that contaminates the consciousness when you smell bad smell. So Indian Brahmins and stuff, if they're not with some social circle, when they smell something very bad, like burning flesh or dead animal or stool or whatever, then they'll spit on the side, because when you spit, the smell goes out the saliva. There's some principles of Brahminical life that we learn living in India. But in lieu of that, which is a little maybe gross in some circumstances to do, of course, especially by Western standard. So then when you go by, which I usually go like this, because one fragrance or one smell is killing you. It even smells so bad, you know. Oh, let me out of here. But then you go like this, get revived. So that's why it's kind of like emergency kit. We keep up in our ear there. But some people's skin is sensitive, and the oils may irritate the skin, so then one should avoid doing that, obviously. Yeah. Common sense. Yeah. So these are some interesting forms of devotional service. This one's really nice. I really like this one. These are passive. Like they say, well, in yoga we just sit and we meditate. Ultimately, yoga is meant for dhyan. Because there's yama niyama, basic rules, be a vegetarian, be clean, etc. And yama niyama, don't do these things and do these good behaviors and avoid bad behaviors. Many different yogas have their different yamas and niyamas. Then there's asan, sitting in a fixed asan, a pure asan of wool or kusha grass or deer skin, tiger skin. For the Vaishnava, we use wool or kusha grass, and it should be white in color. And then that's asan, and then pranayama. Even pranayama is mentioned by Sri Sanatan Goswami. Pranayama is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas, because when it's describing chanting diksha mantras, that before, specifically in Shastra, it says the Brahmins, before they chant the Sri Sandhya Vandanam, the Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhurva Vasva, which only if you're born in a Brahmin family you're supposed to receive that mantra. Mm-hmm. But there are some groups where they've introduced that mantra. In the Shastras it says for the Brahmins, when they're chanting Brahma Gayatri, before that they should do pranayama.
Can we Vaishnavas also do that?
I couldn't hear what she said. My hearing's not so good.
She's saying, can we Vaishnavas also do the pranayama?
Can I?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Okay.
I mean, you can ask your guru. Some gurus say they think it's external, but it's actually it balances the mind. And anyone who does pranayama, they know the efficacy and value of it. Yeah. As we need a healthy body in order to do anything, especially bhajan. And it is mentioned. It's not Maya.
No, it's not.
It's part of the. It's even part of the. Of course, it is a step on the yogic ladder. Mm-hmm. And generally, the answer is given by most Gaudiya Vaishnavas. When you're chanting regulated japa, when you're chanting japa in Sankhya, I should say, fixed number, after some time, in half hour, an hour of chanting japa, automatically your breath becomes regulated. Has to, in order to effectively chant. You chant so many mantras on exhalation, so many mantras on inhalation, so that's an adjusted form. Unofficially, simply chanting japa in a proper way is a form of pranayama, which automatically happens because your breath is adjusted. It's not that sometimes you chant five mantras on exhalation and next time three. It's always, people have a number they chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it balances, because the whole purpose of controlled breathing or pranayama is to balance the manovritti, the movements and functions of the mind, because then the next step is dharana. It can be in two divisions, pratyahara and dharana. Pratyahara means to withdraw the senses from all other stimuli, withdraw the eyes from objects of rupam, withdraw the ears from objects of shabda or sound or form, and fix. So pratyahara, it culminates in dharana. Dharana means holding the mind on one point. So by meditating on om or a mantra, or by meditating on a candle flame or a mandala on the wall, a mandala in different forms, you want to fix the mind. So that's called dharana. This is one of the steps of yoga. So we do this also in bhakti. Then after dharana comes dhyanam, and that's when yoga begins. Dhyan means meditation. And meditation goes deeper and for a longer period of time, Dhyan is a very, for us, Dhyan has five. From Dhyan, it goes to Dhruva Anusmriti. From Dhruva Anusmriti, it goes to Samadhi. These are the eight steps of the yoga ladder. So for us, Dhyan is in five different forms. It's called Five Forms of Smaran. These are told in Bhakti Sandarbha and other places also. Simple remembrance, occasional remembrance, general remembrance is called Smaran. And then Dharana, then Dhyan, then Dhruvana Smriti, then Samadhi. So we also have Samadhi, we also have Dhruvana Smriti, we also have Dhyan. So pranayama is part of that. So this is service number 41. Very nice service. Sri Murti Sparshanam says, touching the Sri Murti. This is number 40. So those that are fortunate to have a murti, what is your seva? I'm touching Krishna. Yeah. I'm worshipping my deities. Yeah. Very nice. And 41, this is even more applicable because everyone can do this without even having Gopal mantra. Because without Gopal mantra, technically one should not do puja of the deities, according to Shastra, because you can't make offering.
Gopal mantra that you get by the Diksha mantra.
Yes, the Gopal mantra is the Diksha mantra for the Vaishnavas. Yes. It's mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's the Diksha mantra, it's Gopal mantra. So number 41 is, this is a nice one. Everyone can have the adhikar to do this. Yes. Sri Murti Darshanam. Yes. Prabhu, what's your seva? Sri Murti Darshanam. I think everyone can understand that. To see or to look at Krishna, the deity of Krishna. Sri Murti Sparshanam. That's nice. And then if you do that, the Vraha Purana says that Vrahadeva is addressing Mother Earth. Dharani means earth. Anyone who sees Govinda in Vrindavan does not go to Yamaraj. That's very nice. Vrindavane tu Govindam Pashyante Vasundare. Vasundare is the name of the earth also. There's some guest house down by Govardhan called Vasundar. Vasundare means the one who's holding the earth. Nate Yamapuram Yanti Yanti Punya Kritam Gatim. So you accumulate lots of punya and religiosity and good things by seeing Govinda in Vrindavan. And Yamapuram Yanti Yanti. You will not go to Yamaraj if you see Govinda in Vrindavan.
And is that also with your own home altar?
No, she said.
Is this also when I have also beautiful?
Yeah, I mean basically
that's the same thing.
It's in a general sense it means because it says I mean Rupa Goswami is saying the principle, first of all we have to clarify here. The devotional principle is Sri Murti Darshan.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, Giriraj Darshan, we have a Murti of Giriraj or Gornitai or Jagannath or whomever we have of Krishna, wherever we are, and we're seeing him, that's a limb of devotion.
Yeah.
Or I go to the Berlin Temple and I see Radhana Krishna, or I go to the Bombay Temple or whatever. That's devotional service. It's called, and what form of service is called Sri Murti Darshanam.
Yeah.
Sri Murti Sparshanam, Sri Murti Darshanam. But then as an example of the power of that, the specific power of seeing a specific deity, if you see a specific deity, Rupa Goswami's deity of Govindaji in Vrindavan, then you won't go to Yamaraj. And Jiva Goswami has a long purport to explain that this means Rupa Goswami's deity. Because Rupa Goswami's deity is very special. Of course, he has run away to Jayapur. So if we want to see him, we have to run away to Jayapur also, which we often do, if we're lucky. And that's nice. He's nice. So there we can do devotional service of Sri Murti Darshanam and Sri Govindaji Nirmalya Swadhanam. We can get those nice ladus from Govindaji, those nice basin ladus, those yellow ones, and we can enjoy. Another Mahaprasadam also. So this is another example of passive devotional service, looking at the Krishna Murti number 41. Now, so as long as you're there in the temple, you might as well stay around, because if you stay around long enough, you're going to rack up another point. It's like, in other words, if you every 5 minutes you make another $10. So if you just come in and look and run out like I do when I'm on Parikrama, you get 10 bucks. If you come in and look at the deity, then stay for Artik, then you get 20 bucks. So you get, or whatever. Because that's two forms of devotional service. One is Artik Darshanam. So these little widows or little people, they're just half dead and they can't do anything. They're just standing there humbly, devotionally, lovingly, respectfully observing Thakurji throughout the whole long ordeal of the Artik. Some Artiks are very slow and long. Depends on the Pujari. And some Pujaris are very fast. Yeah. Depends on the temple. Depends on the temple, the time of day, and the season also. If it's winter, Mangal Artik. Because I lived in Radhadamodar temple in Sevakunj, Prabhupada's, for 3 years, right inside the temple in Prabhupada's kitchen, 89-92. So I observe, because I was there all the time. Many Artiks. I'm living right there, right in the courtyard. So we're discussing from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about active devotional service and passive devotional service. Because generally people say, oh, you have to do active service. What's your service? But that's only one form of 64 limbs of devotional service, is activity, and it's called paricharya. Paricharya means doing and moving in different ways, painting a temple, loading the van. All this is paricharya. But there's so many limbs of devotion. Taking darshan of Krishna, that's also bhakti yanga. Naivedya swad, tasting some mahaprasadas also. Well, I forgot to mention when I was discussing that point that we shouldn't take the prasad in the sanctum sanctorium, which means right where the deities are. But there was a nice point.
You are saying that is wrong. How that is wrong?
Like, yeah, so it's wrong to eat in front of the deity, in that context that I just said. You're inside the actual deity room and eat. So now, Jiva Goswami says, as far as Naivedya Swad, tasting the Mahaprasad offered to the Krishna, it says one should not do it inside the altar, inside where the Thakurji is. Mm-hmm. And then Jiva Goswami says, Jiva Goswami says, in respect of seva, this becomes a seva aparad, if at the time of worship it is forbidden to eat in front of the deity, which I already gave the example, which you missed. But the Pujari clears the, in the morning he wakes up the deities, he takes off the Ratri Bhog. Ratri Bhog in Krishna Balaram Mandir is condensed milk. It's very thick milk, like evaporated milk or condensed milk. Cooked down, not rubbery, but cooked down milk. So he takes it, and then no one else is around, the temple doors are closed, the deity doors are closed. He pours it in a cardboard cup or a leaf cup and drinks it in front of the deities. That's not allowed. If he goes outside the altar and then he drinks it all, then it's okay. Then he does ashvan and goes back in.
But it's just like their temple altar and their hall, like...
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Yeah, first understand this point. No one can see the deities.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even if they can, if you just pop in a sweet in front of your mouth. So now, here's the point. This is a very important point. So he just says, it's forbidden to eat in front of the deity. Listen to what it says. At the time of worship, it is forbidden to eat in front of the deity. So it doesn't mean that, you know, you're eating something outside, eating some ice cream outside, and you walk in the temple, and there's Artik. Okay, they're worshiping the deities. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. You can interpret it means that. No, it means the time that you're worshiping, because it's a seva aparad for the pujari who's doing that seva of worshiping the deities, okay? So now Vishwanath takes it further. He says, however, chewing the betel leaves has previously been forbidden as an offense, but not every form of feasting. Hence, it is no offense to honor Naivedya before the deity in the temple. So this is the point I wanted to make clearly, that if you're inside the altar and you're doing puja, if you eat in front of the deities, like that means in front. But when you're outside in the darshan mandap, which is what they call it, where we all stand and take darshan, every temple usually has some separate area. You go to Gopinath, you stand there like this, and there's a race thing like this, and the pujaris are moving around there, or Babaji sit there and do kirtan or whatever. We normal people can't go there. So we're in the Darshan Mandap. So now coming out, like Radharaman, they have a race thing, Radhadamodar is like little level type, but different temples, different arrangements. But they come out and they give you some prasad. Especially like when ladies go for darshan, which I found from my students over the years when I lived in Vrindavan, especially Western ladies. I'm going to one particular temple for 10 years. I never got any prasad or anything. And this lady came from Germany. This is 1995 or so. It reminded me because you have the blonde hair. So she was from Germany. She said, "Oh, Maharaj, I went to this temple. I got this garland, and he gave me lunch prasad." I said, "Really? That's amazing. I wonder why that is. I can't understand why that is." But I said, "You're really getting a lot of mercy. I've gone to that temple for 20 years. I never got a tulsi leaf. I never got one tulsi leaf. You've got 5 days at a temple. Every day you got a mala garland. One day you got mala sweets. And the third day invited you. You took full rajbhog prasad. And he gave it to you personally, and just so he could have a chance, you know, to talk to you, which means to look at you or gawk at you or whatever people do when they do like that kind of thing." And he's really nice, Pujari. I said, "Yeah, he's really nice, you know." Yeah. Okay, everything's nice. I sometimes keep quiet, but so this is the point that in front of the temple, rather the Takarashi likes it very much. When we honor a little bit of Naivedya. So the rule is that we can't eat in front of the deities is this. Some temples don't have much room, and when it's Sunday feast, they serve the feast in the temple room, like ISKCON. It's a big booth. So then if you're eating, "Hey, more sweet rice, hey, more halva," and Takarashi's there, really, you know? that's what it means, don't eat, don't feast. It says what he said, don't feast, don't have a feast. Naivedya means one sweet, you know, a little something. Because Naivedya...
Little we can take.
Like, yeah, literally. Naivedya aswarana. You can take.
They close the curtain, so the altar is closed then.
Yeah, when there's a feast.
Yeah,
when there's feast, they close. Yeah, yeah. Then we're in the temple, but we're not in front of the deities. He doesn't give darshan then.
Closed then.
Yeah.
Just like a charanamrita and so small like a prasad you can take in front of deities.
Yeah, yeah. Like I go to, when I go and go around Parikrama, I go to Haridev Mandir. And the pujaris are nice. So they usually give a little leaf cup with 5-6 sweets, like that. So I take darshan, say some prayers. Then I come back, and then in the temple itself, I go on the side. Doors locked. I go on the side, and we sit with our friends, and we take that prasad, Naivedya Aswarana. And we feel very good. It's actually a very nice experience to eat Mahaprasad in front of the Takarji. So so these are different forms of passive devotional service. One is looking at the Krishnamurti. That's devotional service. Looking at the Krishnamurti, and then watching the arti. Here's another one. This is 181. Artik Darshanam. That's number 42. That's the limit of devotional service. Passive. Then Puja Darshanam, Utsav Darshanam. Just seeing the festivals. And this is 183. Shravanam Nam Charita Gunadinam Shuti. So this is number 43, limit of devotional service. To hear Krishna's name or hear his qualities or his leelas. This is a form of bhakti. So this is very interesting. What's your service, Prabhu? Oh, I'm listening to Harikatha. What? No, you have to do... What is your guru's seva? You have to do some service for the mission. You have to serve the temple. I'm home. I'm hearing Harikatha. No, but that everyone does. That's not service. Huh? Yeah, yeah, Babas. So we're just explaining these are all different passive forms of service. There are 64 limbs of service, and one is called paricharya. Paricharya means active. paint the temple, clean the temple, cook the offering. All these things are active services. Sell books, preach, travel, have utsavs, Janmashtami, etc. But that's one out of 64. And there are at least 20, 25 that are totally passive, where you do nothing. That's what I said. Does bhakti dash acting or doing nothing? Is bhakti doing nothing? Yes. Do means activity. So bhakti also means doing nothing. Oh, you're doing nothing. You're saying paricharya. You're saying do service. Paricharya is one. I'm doing nine forms of service. Paricharya is only one. I'm hearing Harikata. I'm looking at my deities. I'm touching my deities. I'm tasting Naivedyam. I'm just sitting in my house, not going anywhere, and doing nine forms of devotional service. And you're just doing paricharya. You're not looking at the deity. You're not hearing Hare Krishna. You're just running around. You're just cleaning the temple, thinking of your girlfriend. what is that? No. Oh, do service. I'm all day doing service in the temple. I do this service and that service. That's very good. If you do it with pure heart and pure mind, you can attain prema. But don't denigrate or don't denounce those devotees that are doing so-called grihastas or not doing any temple service. Or what is your... You're just sitting around Radhakund, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Go do something. this is the topmost place and the topmost seva. Hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna on the banks of Radhakund. That's it. The book's closed now. That's, you realize that the book, that's the perfection of the teachings of Rupa Goswami. So hearing Hare Katha, then how does he explain it here? He says that he has several verses, they talk about this. Samsara sarpa dashta nashta cheshtaika vaishanam. Krishneti vaishanam mantram. Oh, this is very nice. This is very important. This is Bhakti Yoga number 43. Atta Shravanam. Shravanam Nama Charita Gunadinam Shutir Bhavat. So that's limb number 43. And to support that or to explain that, then he cites two or three verses. Because he mentions in that verse to hear Krishna's name, his qualities, and his pastimes. So then he talks about listening to the Lord's qualities, listening to the events and leelas of the Lord. So now, this is it. This is the key point. And the first reference Rupa Goswami gives, this is part one of Nectar of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 2, verse 171. This is very important for all devotees who have diksha and for all devotees who don't have diksha. So they will be inspired. Because we read sometimes, I'm only chanting Hare Krishna, I don't need diksha. What is the benefit of diksha? What do you get by diksha? And people will give different answers. But here Rupa Goswami is quoting Garuda Puran. This is not some Bengali Baba and Radhakund making up something or a Western Baba and Radhakund making up something. This is the Puranas. Shruti Smriti Puranadi. Shruti Smriti Puranadi. Everything should be based on Shruti, Smriti, and Purana. These are our Praman, these are our evidence, these are our proofs. So Garuda Puran, which is cited by Rupa Goswami in 1.2.171, is very significant. Samsara sarpa dashta nashta cheshtaika beshtajam. Krishneti vaishnavan. This is the key phrase. Verse 171. Krishneti vaishnavam mantram shutva mukto bhaven naraha. So you're a Brahmin, and anybody knows Hindi well and knows Sanskrit something, they can understand just by hearing me. First of all, it says, shutva mukti. If someone hears something, they'll get liberation. That means no more birth and death. Shutva mukto bhavenart. And what does he have to hear? He has to hear the Vaishnav mantram. So what is the Vaishnav mantram? Vaishnav mantram We're not talking about Nam, not talking about Harinam, it's about Mantram. The Vaishnava Mantram is Gopal Mantram, and for Gaudiyas, we have all Vaishnavas, Nimbarki, Vallabhas, Ramanandi Sadhus, all Vaishnavas, if they have Guru and they've taken Diksha, they receive Gopal Mantra. Mm-hmm. What is the mantra art? What is the meaning of that mantra? And the application and other, the mantra Devata, it may vary according to the Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya. Mantra is one. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya, you know this mantra. So, in Gaudiyas, we have an additional mantra which is not found in other Sampradayas. It's called Kam Gayatri. Kam Gayatri is mentioned, of course, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, along with Krishna mantra. Krishna mantra is sometimes called Gopal mantra. Generally, it's called Krishna mantra. That's the more common name. But there's an entire Upanishad. Upanishad is the Shrutis. Shrutis are the topmost praman, is the Shrutis. So anyone, whether they're Mayavadi, Advaitin, or Vaishnav, or they have personal conception or impersonal conception, whether they're yogi or Vaishnava, or whomever, everyone accepts the Upanishads as the absolute truth and as the final Shabda Brahman. If you say, oh, my guru said, or oh, it's here or there, that's very important for the disciple. But across, what I'm trying to say is across the board, if you're arguing or discussing or preaching to someone from any other sampradaya, say Madhva Sampradaya, and you quote the Upanishads, because the Madhva Sampradaya, although we're called Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, they say, oh, the Gaudiyas, they're not Madhvas. Why are they not Madhvas? Because they don't have the same Ishtadev, they don't have the same Upasya, they don't have the same Upasana. They don't have the same mantras. They have Kam Gayatri. What is this Kam Gayatri? Kam Gayatri is the mantra to worship lust. Kam means lust or desire. Mm-hmm. It's a Puranic mantra for petitioning the Lord Kamadev. Kamadev means Cupid, mm-hmm. the little arrow, you know, Cupid shoots the arrow. So how is it, what is this, Vaishnavas are worshipping? Oh, I want lust. Kamadev. So they understand, this mantra is, especially, it's introduced, it's in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and it's mentioned by Hari Bhakti Vilas in so many Puranic quotations. Plus, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, description of the Kam Gayatri. So this is very special. But back to the point of the Gopal Mantra, that the Madhvas, they reject Radharani. There's no such thing as Radharani. We don't accept that. But now, and they also, but they, we have some hard evidence to prove, because our evidence, or praman, to prove the existence of Krishna Vrindavan, which they don't accept. They say Krishna's Rukmini Krishna, Vishnu Krishna, they worship Rukmini Krishna, Aishwarya Krishna, Udupi Krishna, Vaikuntha. Udupi Krishna means Dasya Rati, Dasya Bhav, in Vaikuntha, in Madhva Sampradaya. So we worship Radha Madhav. And they say, this is all bogus. And our proof is Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Not only, there's hundreds of Upanishads, but of all the Upanishads, 108 are the most important. They're called the Mukhya Upanishads, 108. And Gopal Tapani is number 67 or whatever. It's one of the 108 Upanishads. And Gopal Tapani establishes the reality, eternal reality and existence of Radharani and Madhav and their pastimes in Vrindavan, all of which they reject. They see Vrindavan Leela as fairy tale. It's made up by some North Indians. Some Brijbasis made it up, some romantic stories about some little boy from their village because they're a bunch of cowards. We don't accept it. They say, what about this? Oh, and be quiet. So this is very important for us. For Gaudiya Sampradaya, this is the most important praman because it's Upanishads. Otherwise, we have our Acharyas and Goswamis and all the writings of most of our Puran comes from Bhagavad Puran. So our evidence comes from Bhagavad Puran. Shastram Pramanam, Bhagavatam, Shastra Puranam, Bhagavatam, Amala Puranam. The Bhagavatam is Amala Puran, and it's Shastra Praman for us. Everywhere we quote the Bhagavatam. So this is a very important, this 1-2-171. It says, we're talking about the whole principle The Lima Bhakti is number 43, which means Shravanam. What does Shravanam mean? To hear. It's called the ear. So one of the things you can hear, of course, is sound. And you can hear the sound of Krishna's glories of Krishna's Naam, Rup, and Guna. So part of Krishna Naam, part of hearing Krishna Naam, is to receive the Krishna mantra. The Krishna mantra is the Gopal mantra. When you receive the Krishna mantra, specifically he's saying in relation to hearing, because later he'll say hearing, first he says 43, hearing about Krishna's name, qualities, and pastimes. Then he goes to text 172, and he specifically talks about hearing about Krishna's charitard, lilas. Then verse 173, hearing about Krishna's guna. But right after he talks about hearing also includes hearing the Krishna mantra. So when one hears the Krishna mantra from Guru, then samsara sarp dashta. Sarp means snake. Sarpa. And dashta, nashta, samsara means the snake, the venomous, poisonous snake of time. Kalasarp. You've heard of Kalasarpa yoga? Kalasarp, the snake of time. And the poison, the venomous poison of samsara, the repeated cycle of birth and death, and the time factor, kala sarp, are all dashta and nashta, completely destroyed when one receives the Gopal mantra from the Sadguru. This is why we take diksha, so we can get liberated. The further proof of this comes from this is in Madhya Lila. It says, Krishna mantra samsara mochan, Krishna nam prema labhyate, or something, which basically means in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's teaching, Sanatana Goswami, he says, when one gets Krishna mantra, he gets samsara mochan. Samsara mochan means liberation from samsara, which is what we're saying here. Samsara sarpat dashta nashta. So everyone understands that point? Everyone understand? Yeah. That samsara mochan, this verse is saying when you hear Krishna mantra, shravanam, the 43rd principle of bhakti means to shravanam. So then Rupa Goswami says in verse 171, shravanam means to hear the Krishna mantra from the lips of the guru, that's called diksha. And when you hear the Krishneti Vaishnavam mantram shutva, so hearing, or shravanam or shutva means hearing. When you hear the Krishna mantra, Gopal mantra, then you get free from samsara. And the same point is made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madhya Lila, where he says, Krishna mantra samsara mochan. You get, mochan means mukti. And here it says mukto. So this is the point. So when you hear the Krishna mantra from the guru, you get liberated. But we see you're still alive. You haven't gone to Vaikuntha. when initiation's over, you don't die in the spot and go to Vaikuntha. You may. Some people do. It's happened. They go in ecstasy and leave their bodies. They have darshan of Krishna and go in ecstasy just by hearing the mantra. There's accounts of that in our histories. What it means is all your liberation from all your pup. So once you're liberated from all your baggage, in other words, if you want to run up to the top of the hill, if you're carrying a rucksack or a backpack with 50 kilos in it, it'll take you a long time to run. But if someone said, let me carry it, we have the donkey here, put it on the donkey. Mm-hmm. Now you can run. So that's why it says they go together. Samsara mochan, then Krishna prem, prapti. So when you get diksha, then you get liberated. And once you're liberated, then you can run up to the top of the mountain and attain prema by Nam Sankirtan. But only chanting Nam without diksha is nowhere told anywhere. Diksha is required. Everywhere. Lord Chaitanya is telling, Krishna is telling, everywhere. Everyone, by their own example, even Bhagavan takes diksha. And by the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he's telling two things. He doesn't say just by Krishna Nam. He says Nam and Mocha together. So this is a very passive service. What's your seva? Take diksha. I heard the mantra. So then, these are very, very nice. I really like this one. This is number 44. What kind of service are you doing? Oh, I'm feeling grateful. Just have the feeling. Be feeling great. I'm feeling very grateful to Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. I'm appreciating and feeling very grateful. That's, wow, what service is that? Get off and stop feeling grateful. Go out and do something. So this is service number 44. Kripa tat tat kripa ikshanam. It's very nice. Appreciating, it means appreciating the mercy of the Lord. I'm seeing, literally it means tat kripa ikshanam. Ikshanam means I am seeing, see, feel, will. I am seeing and feeling the mercy of Krishna in my life. Are you? No. I want. This is what it says. Has anyone ever explained this? We say, oh, nectar devotion. Prabhupada, it's in nectar devotion. Yeah, well, so is this. Oh, I didn't read that. What are you doing? You're just sitting in the temple all day looking at the deities. Yes, I'm doing Thakurji Darshanam, Srimurti Darshanam, and I'm feeling grateful. Okay, you're grateful enough. Now go do something.
Yeah, good chance.
No, every day I come and I just look and say, oh, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. So it's very easy. It's all lumped up together, but it's tat kripekshanam. It's all in one word here, is broken into two there. So tat kripa ikshanam. Tat means that. I am seeing that mercy. What mercy? I'm seeing God's mercy working in my life. I am seeing that kripa means grace, mercy, kindness, love. I see, oh, it's all Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. Now you're famous. Oh, it's Krishna's mercy. Now you're infamous. It's also Krishna's mercy. Because I have some idea about that. So-called small fame in a small part of the huge universe. Sometimes someone said, oh, you're very famous. I said, you know what my fame is? My fame is like, you know, this whole earth planet is like the head of a pin. And my fame is like, you know, the pinpoint on that pin. It's nothing. Like someone says, oh, you have so many people here on your Facebook. Oh, really? And you look up some singer, some lady singer from Brazil, her Facebook. 1.2 million. She's a big devotee. No, she's a good singer. So we're not big anything. Not one of us, because it's like, oh, you know, Radha Swami, 3 lakhs people on his Facebook. That's big. According to all of us, that's like super, like he's a super world famous person and a great personality. Pujya Sri Radhanath Swami. But you go look at some politician from Bihar, 5 million people on his Facebook. Yeah. He's a dacoit or whatever. So there's no indication that fame doesn't mean much, but it's, of course, devotee is famous because he glorifies Krishna. And if he's very, very famous, he's really glorified Krishna a lot. So observing, this is, I really like, I didn't remember this myself. Observing the grace of the Lord, seeing the mercy of the Lord, that's a form of bhakti. It's a bhakti anga. It's very deep. In other words, bhakti can be practiced with your heart. Bhakti can be practiced with your mind. Bhakti can be practiced with your senses. Bhakti can just passively, with your senses, your eyes are looking, your tongue is tasting, your ears are hearing, your hands are touching. And bhakti can be practiced with your legs also. There's knowledge acquiring senses, eyes, ears, nose, and then there's working senses, legs, hands, arms, body. So all these forms of bhakti are possible. So bhakti, devotional service, there are active principles of bhakti, and there are passive principles.